With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Just like a soldier has won a victory and he's walking through an occupied town, there's still some landmines there. Satan has been defeated, but there are landmines all around there. He has guerrilla warfare. So what you want to do is don't give the devil an opportunity. And we're going to see three warnings. You need to be careful about your doctrine. You need to be careful about your life decisions. You need to be careful about the way you live your life in Christ and for Christ. Your dependence is upon Christ. That doesn't mean you're not diligent. Dependence and diligence are handmaidens in the Christian life.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, Attention All Christians, Three Warnings, Warning Number One. We continue with our series, Christ is All and in All, Colossians in Biblical Perspective. Centuries ago, an army would bombard a city with catapults in order to conquer it and take its citizens captive. Well, the world and the devil use many different methods to bombard us with countless empty and deceptive human philosophies and false teaching. But the Apostle Paul's warning to the Colossians echoes through the centuries to us today. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 15. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part 2 of the message, Attention All Christians, Three Warnings, Warning Number 1.
Your debt has been paid. And you've not only been set free from the power of sin, you've not only been set free from the penalty of sin, you have been set free from the principalities of sin, the demonic forces of this age. He has triumphed over them. He has set you free from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and from the principalities of sin. He set you free from the power of sin. And here's how he illustrates it. Paul decides to illustrate this by reaching to two signs, follow me, signs and seals of the covenant. In the old covenant, when someone became a believer or was born into the house of a believer, what was the sign of the covenant given in Abraham? Circumcision. Now, we don't do that anymore because it's fulfilled in Christ. And what sign has replaced circumcision? What's the parallel sign of the text? Baptism. So look at what he says. He says, now, remember circumcision? I'm paraphrasing now. What he's saying is, you remember circumcision? It was the circumcision of Abraham. It was the circumcision made with hands. It was a circumcision made with hands by a priest. Remember circumcision of Abraham with hands by a priest. Now, you've been set free. That circumcision was only there to point to a greater circumcision. And that circumcision isn't the circumcision of Abraham. What does the text tell you? It's the circumcision of what? Christ. And that this circumcision is not with hands, but without hands, the Holy Spirit. And this circumcision didn't just cut off excess skin. This circumcision cut off the body of flesh that dominated you. That phrase, the body of flesh, folks, this is just so over. I mean, honestly, I just really grappled about dividing this sermon up some, but I just wanted to get the whole thing to you. When he says he's cut off the body of flesh, now, you see what he's doing? Here's the circumcision of Abraham with the hands of a priest cutting off excess skin. Here is the circumcision of Christ without hands, the Holy Spirit, cutting off the body of flesh. What is he talking about? He's talking about that sin nature. That's what he's talking about. You still have an old man within you, but you're not under that old man anymore. See, the picture is, in Rome, if you committed a crime by killing someone, you had to lose your life. This is Roman justice. And you would die. They had various ways to kill you, of which one is what? A cross. But before you died, in Roman law, you know what your punishment included? Whoever you killed, they would take that person's corpse. They would tie it to your back. It was called a body of death. A body of flesh. And they would strap it to you, and while it polluted itself and decayed for 3 days, it would seep into you. That's Paul giving you the picture of our sin nature. It's a body of flesh, a body of death that's seeping into us. But when you come to Christ, He cuts that body loose. You are born again. He takes it away. Now, do you still have an old principle that's still within you that you think, you know, an old default? Yeah, that's called the principle of the old man. But the power of the old man has been broken. It's been cut away by the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. You're delivered from the power of sin. You're not only delivered from the power of sin, you are now free from the penalty of sin. When Paul wrote this, can I tell you what Paul saw? In fact, you can go there to what they say is the prison cell of Paul. We don't know for sure. But it dates back, and it would be a cell. And if you'll go to that cell, you'll see something. Over the door is a notched spot, a notched area out of the stone. And in that notched area, whatever your crime, you remember when Jesus went to the cross? Remember? The accusations were what? Nailed to the cross. Right? Remember that? All right, here's what they would do. You're in prison, what you're being charged with would be put in a written form, and it would be put over your cell. And when they took you out to die, they would take that certificate of your obligations to society, your debt of your crime. And when you got killed, when you lost your life, when they brought about justice, they would pin it on you. So what happens for us? Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gives us new life. He cuts away the body of flesh. We're born again. We're set free from the sin nature. Do I still have sin living in me? Yes, but I don't live in sin. I'm not dead in sin. I'm alive in Christ. And Christ Himself not only handled my personal problem, He handled my legal problem. He took my certificate of death. I am a sinner. And He took it and He put it on Himself, and it was nailed to the cross. And He said, paid in full. It is finished. Paid. When I was at Covenant College, I worked jobs trying to pay my way through. Got to the last year, I was caught up. In the last year, because of various reasons, I fell behind, and I had a debt to Covenant College of $878, if I remember, something like that, almost $1,000. And they told me, they said, you can't get your diploma without paying this off. They told me, they said, you can't march without paying this off. You can't graduate without paying this off. One day I went to the business office to make arrangements. They said, don't have to worry about it. Why? Now, you talk about grace. Your mother-in-law sent a check and paid for it. Now, that's grace. My mother-in-law had canceled out that debt. And now, I was free to graduate. Christ canceled out your debt, paid for it on the cross. Now, you're free to ascend to heaven. You're not only free from the power of sin, free from the penalty of sin, you're also free from the principalities of sin, the demonic forces of this world, because He has triumphed over them. Again, can I transport you back to Rome? Let me give you the picture from a real life incident. There was a historian from Rome. His name was Plutarch. And he wrote of a day in which, if you saw the movie or read the review of the movie Gladiator, that movie was based upon a true Roman, obviously Hollywood did its thing, but it was based upon a couple of famous Roman generals. One of them, his name was Aurelius Paulus. Aurelius Paulus. Aurelius Paulus was the Roman general who marched out of Rome and into Macedonia and conquered all of Macedonia. The great King Perusus, he even defeated him and all of his armies. Plutarch writes of the triumph, and then what happened? There was a 3-day celebration. When Paulus, General Paulus, came back, for 3 days, Rome was a festive place. On the first day, all of the silver and all of the gold, 259 wagons of silver and gold that he had plundered from Macedonia came in. And the people cheered. And they would throw the gold and the silver out to the people of Rome. On the second day, over 500 wagons containing the prisoners of war, all of their armaments, everything that they own, all of the military might of Perusus had been stripped and marched in as a gift into Rome. On the third day, General Paulus comes in on a chariot with white horses, bringing him in. Tied to him are the princes of Macedonia, and dressed in black and in chains behind his chariot is King Perusus. And the people cheered, for their general had won the victory. Your Savior came into this world and he did battle with sin, Satan, and all of the demonic forces of this world who were giving their heinous laughter as he died on the cross. But he won the victory. And then on that glorious ascension day, when he went to heaven, he went in triumph and all of heaven opened its arms to praise the King of Glory who has come in triumph. Therefore, we don't fear Satan. We resist him and he flees us. We don't fear the demonic. We're empowered by Jesus Christ, who has freed us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the powers of darkness that would seek to kidnap us. We stand free in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Well, here's just a couple of practical things now, all right? Three practical requests. Number one, my first life takeaway here. If Christ, his fullness and his freedom is the key to not being kidnapped by empty deceit and philosophy, I want to ask you this, to make a commitment this day to know Christ and to trust in Christ. Know who he is, his fullness. Know what he has done. He has set you free. I'm asking you this day, intentionally, I want to know Christ. If I don't want philosophy and empty deceit according to the principalities of the demonic and the empty words of the vulgar theology of philosophers, if I don't want that, then I must know Christ, the fullness of Christ, who he is, and the freedom of Christ, what he has done for me. I want to know that. I don't want to rest on the fact that here's the way I'm going to live my Christian life. I'm going to come on Sundays and try to get somebody to put something together that's going to make me feel good and walk out. And maybe it'll get me to next Sunday. No, I want you to know this Christ whom you're rooted in and established in. He is the fullness of life. He has set you free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the principalities of sin. And you must know him personally, who he is and what he has done. And that's a rock you can't be moved from. Now, Harry, how can I know him this way? All right, that brings me to the second thing. The second thing is to know him, you've got to know the truth. Not the empty deceit of lies and philosophy. You've got to know the truth of God's word. God's word will set you free. It's living. It's powerful. God's word brings you to the word of God brings you to the God of the word. When you come to the God of the word, it's not the word I worship. It's Jesus Christ who I now know. How do I know Christ? Through his word. And what is my purpose of being in the word? To know Christ. I don't know Christ through vain imagination. I don't know Christ through the philosophy of men. I know Christ. Now let me put in a small parenthesis. The Bible, follow me on this, the Bible is all truth. Amen? Amen. Try it again. The Bible is all truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to say amen to this. I just want to try to convince you. The Bible is all truth, but not all truth is in the Bible. 2 plus 2 equals 4. I believe that's true. It's not in the Bible, but it's true. Now, the Bible tells me why it's true, but it's not in there. Therefore, these philosophers, this is what gets you. Periodically, they'll say something true. And we'll say, oh, that means I must live my life. So they'll say something true, and then they will use empty words to get you to do something false in light of the one thing they said that was true that was wrapped in all that's deceitful. So, here we are. The Bible's all truth. All truth is not in the Bible, but all truth is God's truth. And when a philosopher brings it, how do I know what pieces are true and I don't buy into the whole thing? By knowing the truth of the Bible that helps you affirm what they might get right. Paul quoted the Stoics. Paul quoted the Epicureans. Periodically, they got something right, but their system was all wrong. Can I explain it this way? I've got a clock in my office in there. Battery's gone. That means my clock is broke. That means my clock does not work, right? Can I trust my clock to tell me time? No, this is not, I'm not trying to trick you now. I'm not a philosopher. It's just a fact. I'm too ignorant to be a philosopher, okay? My clock is just broken. I wouldn't use my clock to guide me in there until I get a battery for it and it's working. But that broken clock in my office is still right twice a day. It's still right twice a day. A philosopher may every once in a while be right twice a day. But you wouldn't come by my clock. You wouldn't trust my clock. A philosopher may be right twice a day, but you wouldn't buy my clock. Don't buy their philosophy. Don't trust it. Trust God's word. It's true. It's not right twice a day. It's right all the day, all the time. It's the truth. And so if it's the truth, what do you need to do? You need to know it. It will set you free. Guy that helped lead me to Christ was a guy by the name of Kyle Thurman. Kyle Thurman was a great evangelist and pastor from Texas. When Kyle Thurman first became a Christian, he did street preaching in Memphis, Tennessee. And he told us about when he was street preaching in Memphis, Tennessee, he couldn't get anybody to stop and listen to him. So what he did, he figured out a way to get people to stop and listen to him. He'd put his hat down on the corner, and then he would run around the hat as fast as he could. And when he run around the hat, he would be throwing his arms up and saying, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive! I'm telling you, it's alive!" And finally, that'd get a crowd. And then he'd bend over and he'd pick up the hat, and underneath it, he'd have his Bible. He said, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." That's where he got a crowd. It's alive. It's the truth. Now, I don't know how many people stayed. But it's alive. God's Word is alive. Oh, why? I know you got to read your computer manuals and you want to read the TV guide. You want to read the newspaper and you want to read that. And there are broken clocks that are right about twice a day. But God's word is true. Therefore, I'm coming after you. Will you give me 10 minutes once a day to read it? 10 minutes. That's all I'm going to ask you to start with. 10 minutes once a day to read it. My recommendation is you do it in the morning. Now I'm going to ask you another thing, because you remember I said what? How many minutes did I say I was coming after? After you read it for 10 minutes, make a commitment sometime during the day, whether it's before you go to bed or at supper, you're going to get your family together and read it for 5 minutes. You get your family together and read it for 5 minutes. Here, that's 15. I'm asking you to do one more thing. I'm asking you to give me 4 minutes. 4 minutes a day to memorize one verse a week. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Give me 10 minutes to come to the Savior and read his word. Can I ask you for 5 minutes to get your family together in the evening to read his word? Just 5. Can I ask you for 4 minutes a day that you will write out one verse for the week? Put it on a card, put the address on the back where you find it, and just add one verse a week to memory. One verse. Harry, that's 19. You said you're going to ask for 20. Would you give me just 1 minute a day after you've spent the time in the Bible to say, "Okay, Jesus, show me your glory"? Just meditate on Jesus. Jesus, show me your glory. All right? Know the truth, not the lie. You want to know Christ, who He is, and what He's done. The truth guides you to Christ. Now, the last thing I want to say is this. Third takeaway. Remember, it's all in the eyes of the heart. It's all in the eyes of the heart. How many of y'all ever watch a football game? Everybody watch a football game? Ever watch a professional football game? Ever watch the Chicago Bears? Chicago Bears have had two great linebackers. One, in my day, was the name of Dick Butkus. And then he retired. Another one was a guy by the name of Mike Singletary. You ought to read his biography. He's a great Christian man. All right? Anybody ever see Mike Singletary? Anybody ever see him play football? And they would take a shot of him. And his eyes were like this. You remember the guy, Linwood Christie, that won the Olympic dash? And they showed them he was running and going for it. He broke records. He was a Briton raised in the West Indies that broke all the records, and nobody knew where he came from. And they saw him striding down that line. Miss James in her book points this guy out. And he's striding down that line, and you can see the muscles rippling and all the preparation and all the dieting and everything. But the thing that gets you when you look at Linwood Christie, just like Mike Singletary, he's looking at that finish line, and his eyes are just bulging out. It's all in the eyes. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That minute. After you've come to His Word, that minute every day, fix your eyes on Jesus. You'll never know that Christ is enough until Christ is all you have and all you want. You'll never know Christ is enough until Christ is all you have and all you want. His name was George Matheson. He lived in the 19th century. He was a Scottish preacher. Turn your hymn book for me. I'm going to close with this. Turn your hymn book to 3. No, we're not going to sing, but just turn there. It's one of my favorite hymns to meditate on. I do sing it at home by myself. George Matheson wrote this. George Matheson went to the University of Glasgow. He had poor eyesight. In the middle of his divinity training, he went blind. He still graduated. You know why? His sister helped him graduate. He then took his first church in Inman, Scotland. He served them for 17 years, and God brought a godly woman into his life. And then she decided not to marry him because of his blindness. And then the church began to have meetings to let him go because of his blindness. And he went, and he said within 15 minutes, his heart poured out, and George Matheson wrote this hymn. As all else was failing him, his eyesight and people, his fiancée, everyone, he wrote this. O love, that's Jesus, that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to Thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in Thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to Thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise it is not vain that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from Thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Think he knew his Savior? Think he knew the fullness of Jesus as everything else disappeared? Don't put it up. Oh, no, I'm not through. Oh, no. Open it. You got to open it back up. I heard those things going back in that box. Open it back up. You think he knew the fullness of Jesus? Y'all think George Matheson knew that? He didn't know till Jesus was enough, until Jesus was all he had and all he wanted. I don't know who decided to change the words in that hymn, but somebody changed the words. We have the original poem he wrote. And one line is wrong in the hymn book. I believe a Presbyterian changed it. Look at verse 3. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to Thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain. That's not what George Matheson wrote. Can I tell you what he wrote? He wrote this. I climb the rainbow in the rain. I climb the rainbow in the rain. I'm preaching at me. We open our Bibles and we're real good at tracing the promises of God's grace through the rainbow. That rainbow was God's sign, right, to Noah? I will be gracious to you. You can count on me to the end of the age. I will be gracious. I will be enough. We're great at tracing the rainbow. But George Matheson, it wasn't enough to trace it. George Matheson said, I climb it. I cling to it. He is all I need. Christ is that bow. Christ is that circumcision. Christ is that baptism. Christ in me.
The world bombards us with countless empty and deceptive human philosophies and false teachings designed to take us captive. But we can resist them if we stand on the truth of God's Word and hold fast to the God of the Word. Join us again next time as we continue in our Colossians series. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Attention All Christians, Three Warnings, Warning Number 1. Better yet, simply ask for message number 9322. Again, that's message number 9322. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email us inperspective@briarwood.org. Where do we go immediately after we die? What will heaven and hell be like? What about the judgment? And where will the believer's forever home reside? Harry Reader gives us a detailed description of eternity in this 6-CD album set we've entitled Eternity in Biblical Perspective. The entire series is yours for just $18. To order your copy, visit our web store at briarwood.org/eternity. Again, that's briarwood.org/eternity. We hope the teaching you hear on In Perspective is helping you understand and apply God's Word to your life. You can access numerous hours of teaching by Pastor Harry Reader by downloading the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. We'd love to hear back from you. Write Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.